Our first halacha topic from Daf Nun Hey is the centrality of Kedushas Ha'aron in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the Aron Kodesh in the teachings of one of my great Rabbeim, Rav Herschel Schechter. The Gemara tells us something very, very powerful, and the lesson behind it can be applied in many different areas. The Gemara told us that the original Tzivui in Parshas Truma, on the first wide line, on Nehei Amud Aleph, that Parshas Truma first brings down the Aron, yet Bezalel, when he constructed the Aron, the Pasuk describes it doing the opposite in Parshas Pekudei, and has him constructing the structure first. The Gemara attests to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had actually heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that first the Mishkan should be created, constructed, and Bezalel, because of his tremendous chachma that he was, what Moshe Rabbeinu describes as Bezalel Kel, inferred from Moshe Rabbeinu's command, even though Moshe had instructed the opposite, he had first mentioned the Aron, nevertheless Bezalel said that the minug, the custom of the world, is of course to first build the outside and then put in the Aron. What the Gemara never explains is why exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu then first describe the Aron. According to the Torah that Rav Soloveitchik said, and was put together beautifully by Rav Schechter, and even applied halacha l'maisa by Rav Schechter, in disagreement with another great Rebbe of mine, Rav Nevensal, we have a greater depth of understanding of both Moshe's thinking and Bezalel's, and then Be'ezer Hashem, no pun intended, we will go on to the Torah of Chabad, Chochma Bina and Das, the Torah of Bezalel, a Torah from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichrona Levracha, emphasis on Zichrona Levracha. We'll pull together the Pshat idea, the halachat idea, with the very important yisod in Chassidus. Soloveitchik made a very strong diuk. By the way, a lot of this is quoted in the Sefer Eretz HaSvi Siman Yud Beis. What was thrilling to me was to find that in the Rav's letters, which were later put out as Igros HaGrid, many of these ideas are mentioned there as well as a historical item, the Sefer of the Briska Rav Ala Rambam has some letters, and one of them is a correspondence between him and Rav Soloveitchik about Kedushas Aron. One of Rav Soloveitchik's brilliant diukim was that the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira does not mention the Aron as one of the Kelim and introduces the Aron as a historical phenomenon. The Rambam starts out in Perek Hei, if I'm not mistaken, in Beis HaBechira, and says, don't think that there was no Aron during Bayis Sheni. There was an Aron, but that Aron had been hidden. Why does the Rambam start out in such a manner? As well, Rav Soloveitchik in other contexts pointed out that the Rambam does not mention the Aron in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvah Chaf, if I'm not mistaken, as one of the Kelim in the Migdash. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that the Kedushas HaMigdash was entirely dependent on the Luchos and the Torah that were inside of the Aron, and therefore the Aron was the definition of Kedushas HaMigdash. And that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't count it as a Kli. The Aron wasn't a Kli, that has an afkamina in terms of how you understand Bakosef Yiso, when the Pasuk take a look at the Rav's letters in this regard, as well as my dear friend Rav Tani Cohen also has an article about this, building on his father-in-law's Rav Schechter's Shtikl Torah over here in Eretz HaTzvi. Since the Aron is not one of the Kelim, therefore, the Aron's purpose is different. The Aron's purpose is a tnai, a condition for Kedushas HaMikdash. Without the Aron and the Torah, for Kedusha to happen in Klal Yisrael, everything starts with Kedushas HaTorah. And without the Aron, there wouldn't be Mikdash. That's what the Rambam is telling us in Beis HaBechira, when the Rambam says, don't think that during the second Beis HaMikdash, even though we didn't have the Aron above ground, of course the Aron was below ground, because otherwise the Kedushas HaMikdash would not exist. This is also echoed. Rav Schechter points out in the Ramban Ala Torah that the Torah repeats itself to go out of its way to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on the Mishkan HaEidus, to tell us that without the Mishkan HaEidus, then there wouldn't be Hashras Shechina. The entire Kedushas HaMikdash is dependent on the Aron. In Kenim Advarim, if that is so, and that explains so many Rambams, one could explain, Rav Schechter suggests, a very interesting machlokus between the Ramban and the Ran. In the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah, there's a discussion how you look at Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Do we say Kedushas Beis HaKnesses has a status of Tashmishei Kedusha, or rather has the halacha of tashmishei mitzvah. Ramban argues that it has a status of tashmishei mitzvah, and for that reason, if the tzibur decides that's no longer in use, just like the rule is that those things that are used for a mitzvah could be nizrak and they could be thrown away, so too when it comes to the Beis HaKnesses, if the people in the shul decide, the Mishnayis in Megillah have rules about how to do it, b'zayin tovir, b'maymid an she'ir, etc., but then in such a case, the halacha is that it can be sold, because it, just like its tashmishei mitzvah can be gotten rid of, so too the Beis HaKnesses. However, Ran disagrees. Ran says it does not seem to him that the halachas of Zayin Tov Yehir B'maymin An She'ir is simply a decision that's no longer usable. He says when they sell it, there is a form of pidyon that's taking place, and he argues that its status is one of Tashmishei Kedusha. Rav Shechter pointed out that if you take his Rebbe's Mahalach, Rav Soloveitchik's Mahalach, our Grand Rebbe's Mahalach, to suggest Kedusha's Hamikdash is dependent on the Aron, maybe we could explain the Shita of the Ran. Because at the end of the day, one could ask, where is the Tashmishei Kedusha, Rav Shechter points out, that's taking place in the Beis HaKnesses? It's there for davening and so on. That's all Tashmishei Mitzvah. Where's the Kedushei, Tashmishei Kedusha? But if you say that the center of the shul is defined by the Aron, and that's what defines Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, as in the Migdash, he points out that there are some Rishonim that say that the Kavod Beis HaKnesses is modeled after Kedushas Beis HaMigdash, Shita, the Reim, and others. So he argues in such a case, it could very well be that this is the position of the Ran, that the Tashmishei Kedusha comes from the fact that the entire Beis HaKnesses is there to serve for the shul, and all of its kedusha emanates from that. My Rebbe Rav Nevinsa, when I told this over to him, had a couple of objections. Number one, Rav Nevinsal said that Rashi in Sukkah on Daf Tezayin suggests that in those days there was a special Erev that was constructed from the Beis HaKnesses to a, for lack of a better term, a safe room that was adjacent to the Beis HaKnesses, where they would bring a Sefer Torah back and forth. It seems that in those days, they did not have the Aron in the shul. And clearly, there were already halachos of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses already in the time of the Gemara. So if that's so, that would be problematic if they didn't hold the Aron there. Some have tried to suggest or defend Rav Shechter's Mahalach to point out that it could be that wherever they had the Sefer Torah during davening, before it was put back in a safe room that was separate and distinct from the shul, that area, what we call today probably the bima, is where the source of the kedusha was, and hence it could be that from there the kedusha emanated for Tashmishei Kedusha. But l'chura of Nevinsal's objection is a decent one. Secondly, if you take a look at the Ran himself, I, Lanias Daiti, am not convinced that that's what the Ran meant when he spoke about Tashmishei Kedusha. The Ran, when he describes Tashmishei Kedusha, is he describes a place, Sha'omrim Sham Dvarim Shebik Kedusha. It seems, according to the Ran, it's because we say Dvarim Shebik Kedusha over there that gives the Beis HaKnesses status of a Tashmish Kedusha. If that would be so, the nafkamina between these two approaches, according to Rav Shechter's Mahalach, a Beis HaKnesses is defined as a Beis HaKnesses, that is a place that is miyuad for Kedushas HaTorah, if it is designated, particularly if it has an Aron. How he deals with Rav Nevinsal's Rashi, I don't know, but in general, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard from him that if it has an Aron, so that's the source of Tashmishei Kedusha. According to the way we're presenting it, if it's a Makom, who am I to disagree with my great Rebbe? I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just pointing out, in the Lashon of the Ran, one could have argued a slight difference of Mahalach, as well as the fact that Rav Nevinsal didn't accept it this way, but rather the simple wording of the Ran, although the Mahalach that Rav Shechter suggests is absolutely beautiful, but in terms of the Ran, whether this is the Pshat, in the words of the Ran, an area that is designated as Miyuad, to say Dvarim Shebik Dusha, maybe that itself would give it the status of a Beis HaKnesses, even if it does not have an Aron. According to all of the above, we understand now why Parshas Truma starts out with the Aron. Because that was the Yesod that the Rambam and the Ramban are both bringing out, and that is the definition of Mikdash starts with the Aron. On the other hand, Betzalel, notice, let's be medayik in the Lashon of Gemara, Minhago Shel Olam, the minog of the world is you first build the construct and then put the Aron inside of it. We could connect this to the Chachma of Chabad. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichrono Levracha pointed out that the repetition of Parshas Vayakal and Pekudei is based on the idea of Bitzalel's brilliance, Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chabad is the ability to take the ideals of Torah and putting them from the Migdash Ilah, the upper Migdash, and putting it down into the Migdash Tata. So in the world of theory, it all starts with the Aron, and that's first what should be done first. Maybe that's the way in the Migdash Ilah, in the heavenly Migdash, you could first construct the Aron. However, says Bitzal, Minhago Shalolam, the way in which this world works is, if you want to place something down, it needs to be protected. Particularly, if it's the holiest thing that mankind has, it's Torah, first it has to be protected. That's the Chachma Bina Das, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichrono Levracha taught us. On the one hand, the most critical part for all the Migdash is clearly the Aron, particularly for the Beis HaMigdash. On the other hand, that is why Bitzalel specifically puts down the walls to be able to protect it. So, Rabosai, let's not forget that all of the surrounding part of Yadus is surrounding the walls, the Kalim, the menorah, etc., are all there surrounding the Kedushas HaTorah, but at the same time, we need to use Chachma, Bina, and Das to be able to take the ideals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, the Migdash Ilah, and make it practical in the Migdash Tata. And this is the Yisod of the Halacha. Clearly, in the Migdash, everything emanates from the Aron, and in terms of the Ran, there are two different Mahalchim that we presented above. Bezrus Hashem, our second topic, Lahalacha from Daf Nun Hei, is the subject of dreams and what is referred to in Halacha and Hatovas Chalom, as Hatovas Chalom. At the end of the Daf Shir, we spoke about the Maharsha's approach of how important interpretation is for Chalom. And in terms of Halacha Lamaisa, let us take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Chaf and then read a couple important points that are made by contemporary poskim that mitigate some of the things in our sugya. First of all, la halacha. The mechaber writes the simin reish chaf sif aleph haroya chalom v'nafshe aguma. If a person sees a dream and he's troubled by it, yativenu, he should make it good. And that fits in with Marsha's idea that it's possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the possible to sway a dream to good. Ba'ape tlas in front of free, derach mele, who have mercy on him. Ve'lema ba'apeu, and he should say in front of him, chalma tova chazoi, ve'lemru inu tova v'ud tova lehavi. And we have either the girsa of the Gemara spells out in Nehem Abbas, almost entirely the whole appropriate text for Atavas Chalom. It should be noted that the Kaf HaChaim quotes a version of Hatavas Chalom from Mikubalim. In an uncharacteristic fashion, someone told me that the Piskei Truas Rav Rabinovich is very much involved with many issues in mental health. Rav Rabinovich, the order of the Piskei Truas, in an unusual part of his Sefer, has quite a long polemic in Os Aleph and Simrei Shchaf, where he says that many Gedolei Poskim and Hasidic masters pointed out that most components of concern of Chalomos that Chazal had do not apply today. He writes the following, quoting in the name of the Chazon Ish, Va'af kimat shelo hayumorim lasos seder hatavas hachalom olom harabon shalom mishas birchas kohanim. He said, many Gedolei Achronim, mitu me'od b'nesinas tzumas lev aleim, they didn't pay too much attention. He quotes a letter of the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish said, oh, you think you had a bad dream to worry about. I had worse dreams many times, and I don't pay very much attention to it. The Piskei Tshuvas proves that the Sharet Zion, in our simin, Kuf Chaf says that if a person has a dream after a fast, after he's weak, he should just assume that the bad dream was due to the difficult circumstances that he was surrounded by. He says, therefore, here comes the big leap. Comes along the Piskei Tshuvas and he says, for that reason, today, where unfortunately, where there is a barrage of devastating things that all humanity is exposed to through the media. In contrast to the time of Chazal, where someone lived in a hamlet, they did not hear of murders and kidnappings, etc., etc., terrible things, terrorist attacks, and so on. So that the notion of having a violent dream, or for that matter, any other disturbing dream, was not so common, because they weren't exposed to it. As our Gemara already had told us, that what a person thinks about during the day is going to affect his dream. That's what the Gemara said, three lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Hey. Hence the Gemara said that if someone dreams about an elephant jumping on the head of a needle, so then such a case has no significance, because that's not something that a person is thinking about. If these thoughts are put into a person's head because of some type of tsar, so in such a case, the Aratzion and Sifkat and Alves concludes one does not need to worry about it. Hence argues Rav Rabinovich that most instances today, it could very well be that the Gedolei Torah would say not to pay attention at all, because unfortunately, due to the terrible exposure we have in media. Similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Aleph talks about the idea that the average person was not included in Chazal's concern about chalomos. Only people who are anshei maisa, for example, someone who eats a lot. Unfortunately, I am included in this as well. Someone who eats before they go to sleep. There are many who say that that encourages, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that that might as well encourage dream. Only a poresh who's everything that he does is Oski Cheshbon, so then in such a case, his dreams are going to have significance. Nevertheless, we should just review a couple of the halachos, and that is the idea of getting three people. The Mechaber says that they should be people who are people who love him, who would be swayed to turn the dream into something good, as we mentioned again before, that how he's people are mative is extremely important. Therefore, the poskim say that not only there's no halach like edus or anything like that, but krovim as well would be acceptable. This is quoted in the Tshuvas Hanhagos from Rev Shtermuch from the Brisker Rav, that he would do hatava shalom with relative, and ideally they should be gedolei Torah. The Piskei Tshuvas is unsure of who should be doing hatava shalom for a woman. However, he says, just like we pass in Yaradei and Simon Reish Chof Ches, that a husband could be sent by his wife to be Mater Nedarim for her, so too he believes the same thing could be done for Hatavas Chalom. It would seem to me that there's no reason why a woman could stand in front of other women as well to do Hatavas Chalom. At the same time, of course, whoever's doing that Tavas Chalom should internalize what the significance is. Particularly, we emphasize to see the Marsha on our Gemara. HaTavas Chalom could be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though fasting on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of the dream, on the one hand, is suggested. At the same time, there is a discussion, Simon Reish Peches, if Halach HaMaisa, we fast on Shabbos in the case of a dream, but nevertheless, no problem of doing Hatavas Chalom on Shabbos, and should be done because it's reason makdim in the mitzvos as quickly as possible. The Aruch HaShulchan Siv Dalid suggests that the concept of Hatavas Chalom with three would follow also the general rules of Bezin, that we know the concept of a Yochin Mumche could judge on his own. And he argues if you go to a Talmud Chacham that is will qualify as a Yochid Mumche, so then in such a case, HaShulchan advocates going to a big Talmud Chacham, telling him the dream, and then he will be Poter Itlatov. Again, the whole concept being that the interpretation of the dream is critical as long as it stands within the confines of the dream, and it's miskabel, its meaning. If for the person who dreamt it, if he's searching for a meaning, he finds acceptable. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is the old custom, that instead of broadcasting it to three, however, he should go to a Rav he trusts and he feels close to, and ask him to give a positive pitaron to his dream. This Bezer Hashem concludes the halacha topics from Daf Nun Hey.